finally we'll have what's called What's the Word, which is when I, oh my God, my cat. I can't do anything about it. Like, I really can't. I'm so sorry.
Today's word is.
Welcome to Accent Accidents. I'm Hannah and I'm joined by Anna and Evan, and this is a podcast about talking. We're covering everything from accents to dialects to idioms, from slang to culture. Basically, anything related to communication or language is on the table. This podcast is meant to be lighthearted and funny, and who knows, maybe even educational. So let's get into it. Today we have Joe Ree on the show. Joe is a former co-worker of ours. He's a very accomplished plantsman. He's super smart. He was actually almost a doctor. And he is an all-round genuine great guy. What? Welcome, Joe!
He's a plantsman and was almost a doctor.
Evan, do you not even like read this ahead of time?
No, it's way more fun if I'm hearing it for the first time.
But I've never actually heard that term before.
No,
I threw that in there. I actually Googled what is someone who likes plants, because you're not really like a botanist or like anything right. like that.
That's
but you
the
just
word.
Like we took my daughter over to your house to do this filming. And Joe has, or at the time, had like 37 plants, because she was like 8 or 9 at the time. So she went around and counted every single plant.
Classic.
Like, and I mean, it's not like Joe lives in some massive house and there's just like a couple plants in each room. No, this was like his little apartment in Capitol Hill.
It's actually a greenhouse in the backyard of someone else's house.
Right? It was amazing.
It wasn't an apartment, actually. It was a greenhouse.
But if you look up someone who likes plants, they're called a plantsman. That's actually
really?
Like a real thing. Yes.
Sexist.
Okay. It is a little. Totally it is sexist. A little sexist.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I've actually the house that we've moved into has like come with all these plants, and I have no idea like what to do. So maybe I'll send you some photos.
Are they real?
You can tell me. Some of them are real. Some of them are fake. And I figured
it's
out.
It's very presumptuous of a.
I know,
someone.
Right? I know.
Renting
and
a
actually,
house out to someone.
Right.
That we have someone that comes in that is like, looks at like the shared yard, which is like where all some other plants are. And I said, oh, wow, you're the plant person. She's like, I'm a plant stylist. And I was like, okay.
Oof. You're in LA now, baby.
Yeah, I know.
Plant
I was
stylist.
Like, okay, we have a plant stylist that comes in like once a week and she like
trims.
Makes sure things aren't dead.
Yeah, does the plants makeup and like hair, fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
Edward's sister
Make them look
so.
Their best.
Yeah. Well, okay, Joe, introduce yourself.
Yes, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, hi guys. So, starting from the very beginning, I grew Ooh. Up in, I was born in the States. I was born in California. Right around when I was 4, I moved back to Korea because my dad's job. He got his PhD in the US and he moved us all back to Korea because he got a job there at a university in Korea. And I grew up, I went through first grade till I would say 8th grade in Korea. So all my childhood and my early adolescent years, spent a lot of my times alone, actually. I was very independent in Korea because, you know, Korea has the opportunity for anyone to really go anywhere. Transportation is available. Both my parents were working at the time. My older brother is 6 years older than me, so he's been out. He'll be out with his friends. My younger brother, who's 4 years younger than me, he would be, you know, hanging around by my mom's side. So a lot of times I have my times alone.
Middle child syndrome.
But it's very safe in Korea.
Yeah, it is very safe. You see kids walking around on their own. There's no, like, there aren't news about kidnapping. I mean, there's just, it's so densely populated where everyone's kind of looking out for each other in a way.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, surprisingly, right?
So when would you say that you'd like just get on like public transportation by yourself? Like what?
So I actually started probably around 3rd grade. I started taking public transportation to my school. It was about 30 minutes away. So I would walk out, hop on a subway, take a single line, and then transfer at a different stop and then get to school. Oh. From the subway station to my school, it was about 30 minutes of a walk. And Jeez. During that time, I would walk through like shops, you know, stores, some other schools and things like that.
That's a long morning.
It is a long morning.
For a child.
For a child.
So you speak then English, obviously, and Korean.
Yeah, so I actually went to international school in Korea. International school is mainly, they only accept students who have U.S. citizenship. So,
biased.
Yeah.
So in the early state, I mean, even right now in Korea, like everyone wants to have their, like they want to move to the States to have their child so that they can get the U.S. citizenship, and then they move back to Korea because
that's
of all
so
the
interesting.
Yeah,
smart.
All the benefits
smart.
You can get, things like, you know,
that's
private
what we
schools.
Do with Canada.
Yeah. And so, what's it like being in an international school?
Oh, it was. Okay, so in the school, it was fine. I mean, it was majority of the students were, you know, they were Korean. We had a few
English curriculum.
Yep, teachers were mainly American. I would say 70% of my classmates were Korean, and then the other 30% were, you know, mixed race. They were mainly in Seoul because their dad was. In the military, so at the military base in Korea.
And was a lot of embassy kids?
Yeah, a lot of embassy kids. Speaking both languages, I mean, between like my friends, we would speak Korean, but then, you know, in class, we'd speak English. We would, you know, talk the gossip in Korean so other people understand. It's just like things like that.
This is exactly the experience I had at my international school in the Dominican Republic. Because I could not learn, it was English curriculum and everyone spoke English or other languages, and they would never speak to me in Spanish or anything else. They would speak to me in English and then everyone else in their languages. So I like literally could not learn Spanish from my friends.
That sucks.
Like, did you speak English to the American kids?
I did. Yeah.
That's
they wanted to fit in.
I mean, it makes
they
sense.
They wanted to learn Korean, but the only Korean they learned is like swear words. They're like, teach me swear words.
Jory, we asked Fabs this last week. Knowing two languages, do you dream in like Korean? Like, how does it work having like being fluent?
And count.
Yeah, and count. Like, how does it kind of work in your
funny.
Brain?
Funny. When I do multiplication, I do it in Korean in my head.
Interesting.
How I learned and memorized the multiplication table.
Is it a better system?
Well, yeah, actually, I've heard that in some other languages it is better, primarily in a lot of like Asian languages because of the way you guys count tens. Is that correct?
Yeah, yep. It's like 10-1, 10-2, 10-3. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the opposed Italian to like 30, that. 40, 50.
Yeah, yeah. Like 30 with 32 would be like a variation of number 3 and then 4. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and there have been studies done that like people that grow up learning math in that language or that way, they're better at math.
Mm. Wait, is that play into the stereotype?
I don't, that might be. I think I read that actually in Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Outliers. Mm.
God, I hate math.
me too.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, continue. Tell us your story.
My story. So, going into kind of my fifth, sixth grade, you know, hitting my adolescent years, having all the freedom in Korea, being able to walk around, go to the well-known PC-bang, which is PC rooms where you go in, just a bunch of computers, you rent, you know, you pretty much book a computer for $1 an hour. Well, back then it was $1 an hour.
Back in my day.
You go in and it's just like these people just playing games like hours and hours and hours, and so I would go there a lot of times with my friends. My parents were strictly against me playing games, so a lot of times I would tell them I'm going to the library or going to my friends to study, but we would go to the internet cafe instead.
Hell yeah, Joe.
But the problem with the internet cafe was, you know, they a bunch of people were just, I mean, it wasn't non-smoking, like people smoked in those internet cafes.
Oh my God.
So, you know, the first time I went and I tried to hide it from my parents, I got home and mom's like, you smell like cigarettes. You smell like smoke. Were you at the internet cafe?
Joe.
I'm like, no. And just like, no, you were. And then I got grounded. So then
you fucked up, Joe.
So I started learning. I have to start looking out for myself, right? I have to look ahead and think ahead. So the next time I was packing for the internet cafe. I got spare clothes in my backpack. I stole my older brother's cologne. Got a pack of gums. Well, gums as if I was smoking, but I wasn't smoking.
Dude, I love it.
I don't know, but like I would go, and then as soon as I you know, I'd be there for 2 hours, 3 hours playing games, and when I leave, like I would stop by the bathroom, change my clothes, spray cologne everywhere, and then I would go out, and then I would go and eat something or stand next to some grill, you know, the like street food and stuff.
You're like, get on me, get yeah. on
dude,
me,
dude. Like, you saw this as a challenge. You didn't like, oh, I got in trouble. You're like, okay, I need to up my game.
Yeah. And your mom will listen to this now. She's like, God damn it, Joe.
Yeah. I still haven't told her. But looking back, I mean, I've had a lot of times by myself. Moving to the States when I was 13, it was a big cultural difference, because, you know, here it's like you have to be with people. It's like there is no freedom to explore. Like everything's so far away. Like I can't just go out and walk around by myself. You know, my parents had to take me everywhere. So it almost felt like my freedom was taken away. It felt more restricted.
That's interesting, because you moved to the land of the free.
I know,
or whatever our like dumb slogan is. Yeah. It's like it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's land of the scared.
Yeah.
Did you experience that in Australia, Hannah?
No, very, like I grew up like in a pretty, like not a country town, but like just outside of Melbourne. It was like very, very safe. I would be able to kind of do my own thing and like come home like at a normal hour. My parents would never worry about me or anything like that.
I had kind of a similar upbringing in Alaska in my small, tiny little town. Like we would always be around, but we would more often than not like be together. Like
totally
we agreed. Could take our bikes and ride to the gas station to get Monster energy drinks or some random crap. But like but it would be, I think, well, at the time it was probably just Red Bull, but
it's like Stranger Things vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna totally date myself, but I the Stranger Things, that was like my life. Like so much of that is like mm-hmm. exactly yeah. how I grew up. There would be times where like my sister, when I was younger, my mom would say, you have to take your sister with you to, you know, do this. And then when I had a younger brother, they were like, you have to take your younger brother with you, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, yeah. I mean, I remember being scared, though, when I was little, walking home, like, around the corner by myself, because we had these milk cartons, and on the back of them, they always had missing children. And totally. I remember like getting my cereal in the morning, and then the milk carton would sit on the table. I don't know why we always left the milk out. It's really weird.
so it
would sit on the table, and you would see this kid staring back at you. And then there would be like a picture of like when they were taken, what they look like. And now it's like 5 years later, what we think they look like.
That's scary.
And that I was always like, I remember my sister and brother, we used to play this game where we would like take a jump rope and tie each other up to see if we could get out of it in case we were kidnapped.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Like, wait, what is that?
Wait, what does that mean?
Because we were so paranoid about being kidnapped.
You don't want to be on that milk carton.
We would actually prepare for it. But I mean, I don't know of anyone who was kidnapped. Like there was no one in our town that ever went missing or anything. Because I did grow up in a smaller town, but it was just, there was always just these little hints of things. And it was like, always be together with someone, you know, like we just always were with other people. So whenever I had to go by myself, I was like, oh my gosh.
No one was ever kidnapped, Anna, because you guys were prepared.
We were prepared. They knew not to get us because they were like, that kid looks so prepared.
All those empty blank white vans that would slowly stroll up and down your street, you know, nothing
what
doing.
What about now that like you have Safi, like your daughter, like what would you be like letting her, would you like let her roam around? Like
no, yeah, no, not in Seattle. I mean, yeah. I guess in some areas maybe a little bit more than others, but heck no. Like
yeah,
I mean, it's a different time. I live in a way bigger city than what I grew up in. So yeah, heck no. Mm. Like I don't even let her like, you know, go, like there's a friend that lives like a block, like not even a block away, just like up the street from her. And we don't even let her just like walk over to her house by herself. Maybe we're helicopter parents. I don't know though.
Like I would be a helicopter parent. For
yeah.
Sure. It would be crazy.
I don't even let my dog go outside without like
walking. It's
true. And actually, it's a little bit warranted because every single time we have interacted with a stranger or gone to the dog park, we get an like a crazy amount of people like stopping and being like, your dog is really handsome. Like, wow, your dog is so good looking.
Okay,
like,
stop bragging.
No, like, we don't know
your
what
dog
to
is
do.
Really cute. Yeah,
he
your
is.
Dog is.
He's
really
like,
cute.
We don't know what to do. He's so
no,
cute.
I got this at the dog park the other day. Someone went, how did you get a red dog? And like, and some other dog parents like perked up and were waiting for my answer too. And I was like, if I put in an order, what do you want? Yeah. Like, what? It's just the color he is. Like, I adopted him from a rescue. They're like, how'd you get a red dog? I was like, oh, I painted him. Like, what do you?
That's
a weird question, right?
That is hilarious.
I know. And I was like, oh, I think it's, you know, his boxer. He's half boxer, whatever. But I'm like, what a question, you weirdo psycho.
I
like,
know. People are weird at dogs.
So I'm worried. I'm worried someone's gonna like he'll get swooped up.
No, that's like with my cat. I'm like, can't let you go outside. You're too cute. Someone will.
He's handsome.
You up.
That's a handsome boy.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever tie your dog outside like a grocery store while you go in?
No, I would never do that. No,
yeah, really. I would never do that. No.
I feel like people don't do that as much anymore.
Mm. No, they really don't.
If it's like take my dog, like it's like an old dog, or it's like, or it's
a mean dog,
right? Yeah, but people who are just too trusting. But yeah. I feel because that's a huge issue, especially here in the Northwest, is people. If you have an expensive looking dog, they will steal that shit and they'll sell it. Like they will swoop that dog up and sell them if they're worth money.
You had like a little? Didn't you? Said something on your stories this week, Evan, about like someone taking a dog from.
Oh my gosh, you guys, so funny! I was on Seattle Craigslist. This person was like found dog, and they had this article saying like this super sweet like female border collie type dog. Went like we found her on February whatever. If anyone has any details, found at the whatever like Gatewood off leash dog park. And I was like, you found a dog at the off-leash dog park? You stole someone's dog who was at, like, and it's not even like they're trying to sell this dog. They're like, they're concerned. They're like, we found this poor sweetie running around by herself at the off-leash dog park. And I was like, that's where dogs run around off-leash. You took someone's dog. Somebody let their dog go run and play and then took a phone call or something. And then their dog went missing because you stole it.
And then they've got a post out saying someone stole my dog.
Yeah. Like, I don't think these people know how off-leash dog parks work.
Joe, getting back to you. What was your first impressions of like America coming from like a teenage point?
And
of
where?
View?
Where were you? California?
No, we came to Seattle actually.
Oh, okay.
So my first impression, so we got a rental car, and this rental car is it was a Ford.
Wow, very first
Ford
impression.
Explorer.
This is the instant, I still like,
remember.
Instant you landed impression.
It was like a
Ford Explorer.
I know, that's such an American car. I'm like, oh man, this smells like a new car. Like, this must be what an American car smells like.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then we're driving, you know, I-5, and I see the city, and I'm like, where's the Space Needle? And it's, like, super far away.
And so when you went to, like, high school, was it, like, a typical American high school? Was there, like, cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Players?
Yeah.
That's Hannah's idea of an
it
American
is!
High school.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I'm like, this is so American. Like,
it'd be like Saved by the Bell.
Cheerleaders walking around.
Or 90210. Yeah. Ugh.
All the jocks like wearing their football gear, like with jeans on, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Letterman jackets.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is.
Why
do
they call them a jock? What's a jock?
Anna, you want to take this one?
Because in Australia, we call underwear male underwears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So that's what it is? So it's a jock strap.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Actually, you know what? I speak out of pure ignorance here. I have no idea if that's where it comes from, but that's, to me, has always been the association. Is like, you call them jocks because they wear jock straps.
Sounds
because they play sports.
So there's,
it does sound
there's
offensive.
A couple of different, I just Googled it, and I'm looking at just straight up Wikipedia. An enthusiast or participant in a specific activity. So you could be a computer jock. So I think, like, maybe it's a sports jock, but then there's pilot or astronaut is also called.
I think a jock wrote this article.
And then
I mean, you could also be into computers and stuff, nerd.
But then the second hit that you get is another term for jock strap, or an enthusiastic athlete or sports fan, especially one with few other interests.
Joe, did you do any at your American high school? Have any like join any extracurriculars?
I did. I did end up. So when I came, I was, you know, I was determined to fit in. So the whole thing was around, I have to play a sport. And actually I was one of the tallest kids in middle school when I moved here. So I had that going for me. That's very special in that way. So I started playing basketball. I started practicing basketball. So basketball was my thing. I was not good, but I, but I tried out, I tried out for the team and I actually made it. And
well, you're tall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Because I was tall. So did I get playing time? Never. I should never play.
Oh, what? Really?
Ouch.
But you get to be a part of the team.
I was part of the team. Yeah. I was, you know. Yeah.
You were the intimidation factor. See, they have you sitting on the bench and it's like, I hope they don't put in that tall kid. And then they never did, but it was always the threat. Yeah. And the coach was so like, funny. Joe? Oh, yeah, no, he's not any good. I have a question for you. How do you feel about K-pop?
How do I feel about K-pop? It's starting to get a little bit weird now. You know,
wait, was it before?
So K-pop was I mean, K-pop in the past, I mean, it was just Korean music, right? It was just stuff that I listened to, and then it became this like global sensation with
that one boy band, right? That like started it all.
The
Korean boy band that really blew up and made it an international craze.
Oh my god, what we're doing. I don't listen to K-pop clearly, but yes, I do know who you're talking about. The ones that came up on like Ellen and like started coming up on these shows.
Yeah.
BTSD.
It's BTS.
BTS, yeah. BTSD.
I was like, that can't be the name. It's BTS.
is funny.
You know, because I think I ended up with BTS because it's in Korean, it's like Bangtan-sonyeondan or something. It's like there's an extra syllable. I don't know. Anyways.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not relevant.
That's hilarious. Not that relevant. So funny. It's relevant.
But
CEO Taiji and the boys.
Oh.
What?
So SEO.
Oh, Seo Taiji. Yeah.
So Taiji and the boys. Yeah. They were like the first. That was like 1992,
for sure.
Right?
I grew up. I mean, my brother and I, we listen to them all the time. I mean, that's the kind of music you like sing in Korean karaoke. Like,
Are we gonna? Should we cue you up? No. Are you gonna give us a little taste?
All right, I'm gonna lay some beats down. So just go.
I think nowadays it's the only time I really get referenced to is like when you know those you know Americans who are way too interested in the Asian culture and. Mm-hmm. They see me and they're like, oh, do you like K-pop? And I'm like, am I supposed to?
I know.
Yeah. How is that dealing with like Americans totally judging?
Oh man,
you?
It's weird. It's all those people who like hang out at like Uwajimai or Daiso and like, you know, it's just
Wait, isn't Uwajimaya like a grocery store?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, like,
they just hang out at a grocery store?
There's like a little convenience store right next to it. Where you can buy like little trinkets and things like that.
Oh, I see.
But you know, I you know, even in the dating world, like online dating, there are women like who are, you know, white who, you know, super like me or something, and I look at their profile and their description says like, I like anime, I like K-pop, and like their like liked music is like all these K-pop groups, and it's just, you know,
just the assumption.
A little bit cringy. Yeah,
right. Like it's fetish.
Yeah, and I like Asian men. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
They need to go on Love is Blind.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
So side note to our listeners, we've had this whole discussion about Love is Blind in like this like sub chat. Because several of us have been obsessed with that show.
I think that it's fair to say though, Anna, that it's a global phenomenon.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. And today, like, we're pre-recording this, obviously, but today is the launch of the reunion.
Ooh. So. The reunion episode. Because it's been like 2 years or something since they saw each other.
They started, well, they started filming October 2018.
For someone who just decides, just like, I'm just not going to watch it, why do I want to watch it?
So I actually, I started watching it. I'm like, oh, this is one of those like reality shows. But the interesting thing for me was this whole idea of the opposite of like online dating. I'm like so into, I mean, I'm not so into online dating, but that's just like how I'm meeting people in Seattle nowadays.
Yes.
And, just seeing the other side is interesting, but it really gets better as they actually see each other and realize, you know, looks matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's billed as an experiment.
But what's the premise of it?
So like, the premise is there's a big house of men and a big house of women, and they are connected by, in this studio space, by these pods, right? Where it's like a little lounge room, and you can talk to somebody on the other side of a wall, but you can't see them. So they go for a couple weeks, like 3 weeks or something. They go on all these dates, and they're set up by the producers to talk to all these people of the opposite sex that they're attracted to or whatever, like... They go on a series of dates, and they go on all these rounds of dates. And it's interesting because I think there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of gals initially.
It's 15 of each.
Yeah, they really whittle it down to six, right?
Okay.
That the show wants to follow because they kind of establish these really good connections with these other people. And then the premise is like, okay, if you have felt this like super intense attraction, the next level is you need to propose to this person having ever seen, like literally through the wall. It's really
that's
awkward.
Insane,
so,
yeah.
And that's propose. How they get, and that's how they get to see each other, as if they propose. Yeah. Otherwise,
if they propose and say yes, then they get to see each other for the first time across the room. And then they go on to like go on a honeymoon together, live together, meet their parents each together, and then go like, and you follow this and track this as they like start to live in the real, back in the real world together.
One other side note is during this time that they're in the pods, this all takes place over like 10 days, like the speed dating kind of thing. And then the engagement happens. All of that is without any outside contact. So no cell phones, no computer, internet access, like no TV, like nothing. So they're just totally in this weird like bubble land.
And when you said, Joe, like it just shows that appearance kind of does matter in a way. Like there's a lot of people that had connections and then they saw each other and they're like, no.
You visit their homes for the first time, or you start seeing their little, you know, nuances and the way their behavior is with other things. It's like, I don't know. I think those all, I mean, they're important. And who,
for sure.
You know, and they've been, they're actually like in a room full of guys on the other and then room full of women on the other side. And of course, like if you talk with another gender, you're like, oh, I think I love you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what's so crazy is that these people, after a couple, like 3 dates, they're like, I think I love you.
And but the dates were intense. The dates, some of the dates were like, hours long. Can you imagine talking to one person for 8 hours? Like, of course,
and
you're gonna feel some attraction
and falling
to them.
In love with them, that is and here's the thing for me, coming from like a filmmaking TV background, blah blah blah, is just like, I'm like, of course they want to continue on the show, so
yes,
they know
exactly.
To make it to the next episode they gotta get engaged. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, it's just so crazy because some of them obviously then they see each other and they're like, oh shit, you're hot. Mm-hmm. Like this was actually in my benefit, right? It's like, then sure, they're gonna have some success, but then there's couples who are like, they see each other and they're like, oh
yeah,
you know. And then that becomes an issue for them, and like it, that's why it's interesting to watch, is you have these couples who are really attracted to each other, you have these couples who are like, I'm just really not used to like locking anything down with anybody. Mm-hmm. And oh, you have a lot of debt, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, because the finale is a wedding, and then you, in that moment when you say I do or I don't, you literally have to say yes or no to continue in a relationship with this person. So like, you get people saying I do, and the other person is like, I don't. And then it's like, oh, and their families are there. It's a wedding. It's fucked up.
Wow.
Yeah,
we have like something in Australia called Married at First Sight, where you literally get married like straight away. But,
yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. Okay, maybe I'll watch it.
And so, I mean, in the obviously it's like a cultural phenomenon. We all love it. It's hilarious to talk about, but it's so funny since we're talking about language and speech and everything, how in this podcast, how this show is, you know, it's premised on just talking mm-hmm. to someone, just yeah. having that vocal interaction, and that's it, and then falling in love with them or something. And I'm just worried that our listeners are going to fall in love with us.
Then they should go check out our Patreon.
Hey, brilliant, Anna. Brilliant. I'm so curious about the Korean language and slang and Joe, the things that you have encountered, and you know what, I don't know. I want to learn so much about it because I'm so ignorant to most Asian languages, and I know how difficult they can be for somebody as a second language or learning them. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tell me more.
So when I first moved here, the other Koreans at my middle school and high school started calling me a banana. Have you guys heard of that term before?
What?
Banana?
The Koreans
call me a banana.
No.
Another word for that is a Twinkie.
Wait, is it like white on the inside?
Yellow on the outside.
I didn't know that's what a Twinkie meant.
Yeah, because I was I spoke English and I was able to. I mean, I tried really hard to fit into the American system and the kids here. Mm-hmm. I was all about like, I'm not going to make friends with Koreans. You know, I'm gonna move on. I'm going to fit in. And a lot of the Koreans that were in like the English ESL, the like where actually English as second language classes. They looked down on me. They're going to call me a banana. They call me a Twinkie. They said, you know, I'm not a real Korean, even though I just like moved. Yeah. So
that was like really aggressive.
It was very aggressive. Like I would walk
from other Korean students. That's crazy.
Well, I would walk on the hallways and they would just like glare at me or, you know, things like that.
Shit.
So
why is that? Why did they feel that hatred?
I think they were. Maybe it's part jealousy. Like, I mean, they're learning English. I mean, they're obviously not good at English. So to uh-huh. see me come from Korea, for someone to have gone to an international school in Korea, they're considered pretty privileged. You know, there's public schools right. in Korea that's free, but you know, international schools are, you know, there's a tuition. Although my mom, she worked at the school, so our tuition was pretty much free. Almost. But anyways, they don't know that story, so therefore they see me as like this privileged kid who comes from Korea, who knows English, who's, you know, who's tall, who's learning basketball
and handsome. You're a very handsome man, Joe.
Thank you very much.
They were intimidated for sure.
Don't fall in love with me, but I do love you.
I know. Well, love is blind. Yeah. Just the sound of your voice.
Hey guys, I just wanted to preface this next segment. There's an Australian phrase which initially sounded like it might be offensive, and upon further research, we believe that it most likely is. It is never our intent to offend or hurt anyone, so we wanted to make sure that we called this out. There are sometimes phrases or words we use regularly, and with no idea, they may have roots in racism or hate. As we go deeper into this podcast, we will continue to call these out as we believe it is important to discuss. If you would like to skip past this moment, go ahead and skip to 34 minutes and 58 seconds. Thanks for listening.
So Joe, for listeners, we are going to play What's the Word, which is where I basically share a slang Australian word and these guys have to guess their meaning. So the first one is crack-a-darky.
These are always just so ridiculous. They're all like every time.
I really like hunted for this one. And when I saw it, I was like, yeah.
Crack a what?
Crack a donkey?
Crack. Like dark, but.
Oh,
darky.
Dark. Like a dark room.
Oh, a darky. This just got way worse.
Crack a
what
darky.
What did you think, guys?
I thought dock, like a boating dock.
I thought you said donkey, like a crack horse. A donkey. Like a crack
oh
a donkey.
No.
That sounds real bad.
It does.
I need to use it in a sentence. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, this is a dumb way. But anyway, no need to crack a darky.
Are you talking about a stout beer?
No.
Oh, good one.
That is a really good guess.
Does that mean like lose your shit?
Yeah, it means lose your shit. Oh my god. It's like basically when you lose your temper over something trivial. Mm. So just relax, like no need to crack a duck. Mm.
So where does that come from? Do you know?
I don't know.
No, Hannah, no. You're not allowed to find these things and not know what the heck they mean.
I don't know why.
Joe, do you have any like slang or
terminology from Korean?
Yeah. Or anything that like people you grew up saying and like people just don't know what you're talking
about. Like for example, like when you with Fabiola, like mm-hmm. she had direct Spanish translations mm. and she would translate them into English and it would be like that does not work. Like you know what I mean? Do you have any of those?
I do. There's this phrase called 배부른 소리. So that means the direct translation is talking with a full stomach.
Talking with a full stomach.
So, like, is it like you're like you?
Does that mean like you're full of crap? Like you?
No, actually, yeah.
Oh, that's keep a trying. Good one. Like I just can't move because I'm so full.
Talking with a full stomach. Wait, does that mean like? I have no idea what I'm talking about. Or no, I just asked.
Oh, that's similar. Oh, that's close. But it's actually, Anna, do you want to give it a try?
I think all good guesses, but I have no idea.
it's mainly, I mean, talking with a full stomach. That's when you have everything and you're complaining about things that are just so small. It's like, I'm full, but I still want more food. It's like,
that is a great
that's
one.
So yeah. Cool.
So when
you're
someone's
just talking with a full stomach.
Yeah. So when they're just complaining that's about, great. They're like, oh man, you know, like, I don't know. It's something. And you're like, dude, stop talking with your full stomach. I mean, talking with a full stomach. Like,
what a comeback. We're like, what the
that's
fuck?
So, I love the, like, how especially languages I feel like that are just like deeper in history are much older. They have like such literal connotations and meanings that always break down to like hunger mm-hmm. or like working with your hands or something like from way, way, way mm-hmm. back in the day, right? That like English just doesn't always have. And so I really love that sentiment. Like, oh, I have like a really nice car, but I really want that super nice car.
Exactly.
And it's like, you're talking with a full stomach as if you're like, oh, I wish I had good food. And it's like, hey, man, there's people with no food. Mm-hmm. You're talking with a full stomach.
Yep, you got it.
I love that. That's super
I'm
cool.
I'm going to try and use that. Thank you, Joe, for being our second guest.
Thanks for having me.
It was
me.
Lovely
this
to have
fun.
You. We will share all your details of like where people can follow you and stuff like that. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you guys for listening. If you like this podcast, be sure to leave a 5-star review and subscribe to receive updates. And also, we have a Patreon going on, so please be sure to join that so you can get bonus outtakes from the show and more. And catch ya.